It's Jazz, and I'm back with another episode of And All That Jazz podcast. So, you can probably tell what this episode is going to be about based off of the title, but I was supposed to drop an episode last week, and I ended up saying, no, I'm going to push it back. I told myself this. I ain't tell y'all this. But I was like, I'm going to push it back. That way I have, I can time it close to when I went to DC and talk about the Hooray Takeover and all that stuff like that. And then the Oscars happened. So we'll get to the Oscars, but I want to talk about the Hooray Takeover in DC first. So for those of you who don't know, and if you missed it on previous episodes, back in December, either the beginning of December or the end of November, Issa Rae and her team at Hooray Media announced that they were doing a takeover at the Kennedy Center in March. So this past weekend, and they dropped tickets for everything, and I scooped up tickets for everything except for one party. I was able to snag tickets to all the events except for one party, and then of course as things got closer, they started doing more after parties, or they started announcing more after parties and stuff like that. But the original event, I had snagged tickets to everything except for one party, and I waited another month or so. Like, I was keeping an eye on flights, and I was able to get a round trip ticket from Nashville to DC for less than $150. So immediately snagged that up, snagged the hotel at a decent rate. And when I tell you guys, I've been looking forward to this weekend for so long, like for so long. I did not realize how much I needed to be around my culture until I was there. And I was like, yes, yes, this is something that I am missing in Nashville currently. So got there. And another great thing about being, at least this weekend for me, I was able to see different friend groups. So like my brother, my sister-in-law and their kids live in the area. So I was able to see them. I was able to see my newest nugget. I got to hang out with them on Friday. Saturday, I got to see one of my best friends and another friend who I hadn't seen in forever. And Sunday, I actually got to hang out with some bloggers from Houston that I know, that I've known for a while in Houston. So it was great getting to see so many different people on this trip, in addition to all the hooligans who attended. And hooligans, that is like the fandom name for Hooray's media, for Issa Rae. At least that's what it's called in Discord. So first of all, big shout out to Discord, all the hooligans, especially on the Hooray Takeover, DC Takeover thread. You guys, one, kept me thoroughly entertained. Two, were a wealth of knowledge when it came to stuff to do in DC, or different just like tips and tricks while we were there. And then when I was selling, when I ended up selling a few of my tickets, y'all scooped them up real quick. Like, I bought tickets to everything. I ended up not going to everything, especially once it was one of those, oh yes, like past Jasmine was like, I'm going to go to all the things. We're going to go to everything, everywhere. We're just going to do stuff. And then, of course, when the day comes, you're like, I think I'm ready for a nap. I think I just want to chill this evening. So I went to at least one thing every day, but I didn't go to everything. And I still had fun. And I was asked a few times over the weekend, would I come back? I would definitely come back. I wouldn't buy tickets for everything again, at least not immediately. But I would definitely come back because I had a lot of fun. I was explaining it to people as it was essentially South By, but for Black creatives, if that makes sense. So there were quite a few networking events. There were some panels that had different creators on it. There were concerts. There was a live podcast live podcast album preview. Like, I thought it was going to be a taping, but they were giving us a snippet of what's coming on their live podcast album. And I said, by they, I mean Kid Fury and Crystal from The Read. If you know, you know. If you don't, you should. I've been listening to their podcast for a very long time. I've seen them live a few times in Houston. That duo is phenomenal. I feel like I talk about them frequently. They are probably the inspiration, or one of the inspirations behind me starting this podcast. I love them. I love them. They are two black queers who moved from the South and moved to New York and have sent years ago and have since made it big, and so proud of them, like so very proud of them. And there was also a short film screening. So we got to see a short film called If These Locks Could Talk, which was beautiful and will kind of lead into the next topic, which is about black hair and the nuances and the Oscars and stuff like that. Anyway, but then there was also a screening of Kid Fury's short film, which is called Undertow, which is about his battle with depression and anxiety, which is also ties into the next topic. Lots of nuances with the Oscar event. But anyway, and then we were able to preview the first episode of Issa Rae's new project on HBO called Rap Shit, which Kid Fury helped write on. And it was cute. It was cute. It's not Insecure, I will say that. So if you are thinking you're going to watch it, if you're wanting to watch it because you think it's going to be another Insecure, it's not. It's cute. It's real funny, but it's not Insecure. One of the events I ended up passing on was, and it was only because I wasn't sure what kind of energy Kiki was going to be bringing on Sunday night, and I was not in a space for like super, super, super hype energy on a Sunday night. I love Kiki. I think she is a phenomenal creative, great actress, decent vocals, great comedian. And in fact, I will be sharing the audio from a reel possibly a TikTok too, but I saw it on Instagram Reels that she shared about the incident that happened at the Oscars a little bit later in this episode. But I ended up skipping that, and I heard it was good. And I think it was because I was expecting, when it was at least announced, expecting a lower key vibe, like a low key vibe for that. But either way, like I said, I got to see different loved ones. I got to go see the beautiful cherry blossoms in bloom. Got to eat some great food, which I always do in DC. And I even got to go to the Amazon Fresh store, which was a really cool experience. Like, it felt like I was stealing. So it was weird, like, leaving, because there was literally no one to check out with. Like, you just walked out. But I got a receipt a couple hours later with all my stuff on there, and really good. Like, it was reasonably priced. I was expecting things to be a bit upcharged, but it wasn't. Decent options, especially since I went at like 9 o'clock at night on a Friday. So decent options. And it was in a pretty cool spot. It was over there by the restaurant that we went to on Friday night called Chicken and Whiskey, which was actually a Mexican restaurant. Really good Mexican soup, like chicken soup. And yeah, so overall, phenomenal time in DC. Now, let's switch gears and talk about what happened at the Oscars. So like I said, I have a clip that I want to insert here that kind of hits on how I feel. And this is Kiki Palmer. This is another one of those cultural, if you know, you know moments. On the screen of this video, it says journal entry, March 27, 2022. And if you grew up in the 90s and you are a black millennial like me, then you already know what this is going to be.
Well, Will Smith slapped the shit out of Chris Rock last night. Felt like a cultural reset. Where I come from, ain't the first time somebody got slapped for saying a bad joke. Anyway.
I didn't watch the Oscars on Sunday, so I didn't see this live. In fact, I found out about it in Erica, who is Black Girls Who Brunch, which is one of the black food bloggers that I linked up with and one of the Black Houston one of the Black Houston food bloggers that I linked up with when I was in DC. I saw it in her IG stories on Sunday night. She shared a story of a tweet that made me like blink my eyes. I'd had a few drinks at that point. I was winding down for the evening. It had been a long weekend, and I was like, I couldn't believe it at first. That's what I'm getting to. I couldn't believe it at first. I thought it was a bit. I could not believe it at first. I had to go over to Twitter and find a clip that wasn't edited, because apparently by the time a lot of them made it to Twitter, they were edited, and I wanted to hear what Will Smith said. So I found one. It was the first one I found that wasn't edited was from an Asian news casting, and then I found one that was, it must have been, I don't know if it was Canadian or what, but I ended up finding one that didn't have any dubs over it or anything like that, and I watched it, and it was very much real, like very, very much real. So for those who don't know, or if you've been living under a rock for these past couple days, Chris Rock made a very, it wasn't even a funny joke. It just, he saw Will and Jada sitting there pretty much in the front row, if I'm not mistaken. And Jada had her head shaved bald, looking beautiful. Jada's just beautiful, period. But she had her head shaved bald, and he made a G.I. Jane joke. And we knew as soon as he said it that the cameras were going to pan to them. And Will knew that too. So he laughed at first, but you saw, like, you could see the pain on her face. Like, you could see that she was uncomfortable. You could see the pain on her face. And next thing I know, next thing we all knew, Will was coming up on that stage, wound back and slapped the shit out of Chris Rock. Went back to his seat, and his expression was not one of, his tone was one of anger, but the expression on his face was another thing. I was like, is this a bit? Like, is this? And then he was like, keep my wife's name out your effing mouth. And he said it again. So the meme that was going around saying that we are all Lupita Nyong'o at this point, we are, because we're like, oh, this happened. Like, this, that's what I kept saying. This happened. So much so that you had the elders like Denzel Washington and Tyler Perry, it's weird that we consider him an elder now based off of how short he's, like, the short amount of time that he's been in the industry compared to others like Denzel and even Will Smith. Because if I'm not mistaken, Will and Tyler might be close to the same age, but in that situation, it felt like Tyler was an elder. And Denzel, even though we're going to call him Denzel, we've been calling him Denzel this whole time, stepped in like the great man that he is and was a mediator and gave words of comfort and words of affirmation, it seemed like, to both parties. And then Diddy got up there and was like, we gonna solve this like family at the gold party, which is okay. So I'm happy he said that, because all of these think pieces and tweets about how Will's behavior is one of an abuser, and if it was someone else and all that stuff like that, and it just shouldn't have happened, and da-da-da. You know what? I feel like this is said quite often. F around and find out. Like, you gonna mess around and find out? Chris Rock messed around and found out. So whether he knew she was battling alopecia, which is an autoimmune disease, which causes you to lose your hair, and she's been losing hers in patches, so she just, I mean, she shaved her head bald, or pretty low close to bald, a while now, and like I said, she looks beautiful. Whether he knew she was dealing with alopecia or not, black women's hair is been a hot topic for years. He had a whole documentary called Good Hair where he delved into this and how our hair has been the topic of discussion for hundreds of years. The Crown Act just passed, and that, like, literally just passed, and that outlawed discrimination, based on hair, and particularly black women's hair. And his documentary was made ages ago. So he knows what black women have had to go through in order to assimilate, in order to just be seen as someone worthy of a job or an opportunity or whatever like that, to not be seen as less than. So for him to make that, it was just distasteful and it wasn't funny. And I don't blame Will for what he did. And I'm sick of these people who are in one breath saying, oh, you know what? Well, respectability politics, you know, we can't just do all, you can't do that in mixed company, and this should have been handled this way, and this should have been handled this way, and this should have been handled this way, and he shouldn't have done that, and blah, blah, blah. But we'll turn around and say, you know what? I wish I could be my authentic self. I wish I didn't have to put on. I wish I didn't have to. Stop. You don't. Like, you don't. And then we'll also say we need to protect black women. Well, which black women are we protecting, and how are we protecting them? I feel like what Will did was justified. And I feel like Chris won't part his mouth to do that ever again. And it is what it is at this point. Will apologize. He apologized publicly too. So I'm not sure if he apologized privately. I'm sure he did. But he also apologized publicly because it was a public situation. he later went on to win the Oscar, and he made his speech then was absolutely beautiful. But Will could always give really good speeches. He's always been a great orator. He could always give really good speeches. And I don't know about y'all, but if you haven't read his book, you might want to read it. Like, it would definitely go into how he might have gotten to, it'll open your eyes as to how he got to that point on Sunday night. So, like, whether it was Uncle Fluff or The General, that was definitely The General. But check it out. Highly recommend checking it out. And to those comedians saying that, well, now people will think that they can just do whatever they want when they come to our shows. And I mean, the amount of reaches that I've seen, not just from comedians, but from people who, in my opinion, shouldn't be centering themselves or their experiences with this situation, because there are so many nuances to this situation. But the amount of tweets and videos I've seen of others saying, well, if he would have done this to Betty White or Bob Saget, who are already dead, like, the what ifs that are coming out are so infuriating, because it's coming from people who have no dog in this fight, who have never had a dog in this fight, and probably wouldn't even know, they can't begin to understand. They can't begin to understand the situation. That's what it is, in my opinion. Because like I said, there are nuances that come with being an entertainer, being a black entertainer in Hollywood, or being a black American, period. How we are expected to carry ourselves in certain situations. Because we're seen as oftentimes we are seen as a representative of the entire culture. And what's really sad is that I've heard people say, oh man, now we're not going to be invited back. And I'm like, that's, to me, is bananas, because had that situation happened between two white men, there would never be a thought in anybody's mind of, oh, we'll never have another white nominee again. So the fact that people are like, oh man, Will and Chris have now ruined our chances for X, Y, and Z, or now we're not going to get another black producer. By the way, Will Packer did a phenomenal job producing the Oscars. Overall, did a phenomenal job producing the Oscars. And I don't just want to focus heavily on Will and Chris's situation, because the Oscars overall, the clips that I've seen, because like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing. It's been a very long time since I've watched the Oscars, because the Oscars have been very white for a long time. And the lack of diversity and the lack of recognition of phenomenal people of color who have contributed to the industry has been maddening. So I just didn't watch it, or I haven't been watching it. But this year there was a lot of representation. Beyonce's performance was phenomenal. Blue Ivy, 8. Absolutely 8. And yeah, I just, the nominees that I wanted to, a lot of the nominees that I wanted to win won. So I'm very excited about that. And yeah, it was just, it was a cultural reset, like Kiki said. So, I might not have watched that, but I have watched other things. And I always share something that I'm watching with you guys. So this week it will be season 2 of Bridgerton. So this season is about the Viscount, Anthony, and Kate, who is new to town. It was good. So instead of people saying, "I burn for you," they're saying, "You vex me." And it was cute. I binged it in probably 2.5 days over the course of it, because I brought my Fire Stick to DC with me because I was there for a few days. And I don't know, it didn't have the same oomph as the first season. And I think because the first season was so new to us, we didn't know what to expect. But now we do. So I'm interested to see if they're going to continue the series like they did the books, plural. But we'll go from there. But I did love the overall story. And yeah, I mean, it's a cute little watch. So definitely give it a watch, you guys. And I'm still watching. Oh, I also started watching We Crashed. I can't remember if I mentioned that on here or if I've just told people about it in real life. It is about the story of WeWork. So it's Adam Newman and his wife, Rebecca Newman, and the story of WeWork. And Jared Leto plays Adam Newman. Anne Hathaway plays Rebecca Newman. And Jared Leto is a goddamn chameleon. Like, this man, whatever role he does, I believe him in it. And it's so weird because I will forget that is him at times. And in so many roles, Dallas Buyers Club, in this one, it just so many different roles that he's done. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is Jared Leto. Oh my gosh, that is Jared. In the Suicide Squad, I was like, oh my gosh, that is Jared Leto. And you just forget. So, I actually watched the WeWork documentary on Hulu. Was it last year or 2020 or whatever like that? So I knew a lot about what they were talking about. But this show on Apple TV Plus is based on, of course, the story of WeWork, and I think they also use they get a lot of this source material from the podcast called We Crashed. So if you have Apple TV Plus, if you've bought a new Apple product, you know they love to give you another year for free when you buy Apple products. So if you've upgraded your phone recently, you probably have a year free of Apple TV Plus. Check it out. Really good. Watch season 2 of Bridgerton. And I hope y'all enjoy your week. Make it a great week. And I'll catch y'all next time. Bye.